Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Take nothing, nothing. Go out, but don't take anything, nothing, with you, nothing with you at all. This is what Jesus tells his disciples to do. When this morning's lesson opens, it tells us that Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey. Well, almost nothing. He says that they can have a staff and they can take their sandals, but that's it. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts. This is not a philosophically difficult concept to understand. It's pretty simple. Go out and don't take anything with you. It's simple, but it's a challenge. A simple challenge. What would it be like to go out carrying nothing at all? I suppose I would be walking because my driver's license is in my wallet, which I did not bring. And for that matter, my car keys are also sitting neglected on the kitchen counter, wondering why I left without taking them with me. He won't get far. That's what my car keys are saying. And as I make it around the first bend in the road, it occurs to me that the area in and around Galilee and Jerusalem is pretty small compared to the United States of America. My feet mention this to me in an indignant tone. It's all very well for Jesus and his disciples to go around on foot. Getting around rural New England on foot takes a lot longer than going from town to town in Galilee. On the other hand, I have a nice paved road to walk on, whereas Jesus and his disciples walked from town to town on dusty roads that moved through arid landscapes. It would have been nice if Jesus had let his disciples take some water with them. Water, after all, is not a luxury, it's a necessity. Forget the staff. I would gladly trade the staff for some water. We can't survive long without water, especially if we are traveling through a dry land. But no, no water. As I think about being thirsty, I realize that the instructions that Jesus gave to the disciples tell them not to take anything with them. It doesn't say anything about them getting what they need along the way. So if necessary, I can just get myself some water, right? Just when I am about to heave a sigh of relief, I remember, I have no money. Take nothing means no money. This is all very disorienting. It's not what I'm used to. If I want something, I can usually buy it. But now, since I have taken nothing with me, which includes money, naturally, I have to fend for myself, almost like a wild animal. A wild animal. Isn't that interesting? I never thought of it before, but it occurs to me that foxes don't actually have waistcoat pockets. I often think of foxes having waistcoat pockets, do you? Because I grew up with Beatrix Potter, so all the foxes have waistcoat pockets. But no, foxes do not have waistcoat pockets, and so they cannot carry things around with them. The only way a fox can carry something is in its teeth, right? For every living thing on our planet, with the exception of one silly-looking primate with opposable thumbs, this take-nothing business is a way of life. the only way of life that they know. For me, not having something is unusual. But for every other creature on this blue planet, having something is a novelty. So this take-nothing rule is bringing me back to a kind of wild state of being. A state of being that forces me to depend only on my inner resources and strength of will to find and consume the necessary food and water to survive. I stop and I look at the summer trees that are overhanging the road. All these living things, all the birds in the canopy, all the small woodland creatures hiding in the old stone walls, they are all like disciples of Jesus. They are all living a take-nothing life. Could this be why Jesus asked his disciples to take nothing? It could be. Thought about in this way, take-nothing is a certain kind of spiritual discipline. Was Jesus trying to get his disciples to connect to a state of being that is somehow more essential to our natural existence on this planet? It sounds plausible, it could be. But as I rummage through my memory of this area that I'm walking through and I search for sources of water, a stream perhaps, or a lake, I'm confronted with another problem. I don't like the idea of drinking from one of the local streams. I definitely don't want to drink from a puddle or a pond. I fear getting sick. I am concerned about either drinking some industrial chemical or imbibing a parasite, right, from some wild creature. I suspect that Jesus and his disciples probably had this problem too. They may not have had to contend with industrial pollution as we do, but I bet they had sewage issues in their waterways. So, if I can't buy water and I don't want to drink water from a stream, what other options do I have? Since I can't buy water, I may have to simply ask someone to give me some. Well, this is interesting too, isn't it? Not taking might mean depending on myself like a wild animal, or it might mean depending on others, almost like a child. As adults, we live our lives by taking things. We take things that help us to become more competent and efficient at caring for ourselves and for our loved ones. For example, I use a computer to help me write. This writing helps me to do my job, preaching in the pulpit as I am doing this right now. This doing of my job in turn allows me to pay my mortgage and feed my kids. Take, take, take. Give, give, give. Mine is not a take-nothing life. Mine is a take-and-give life. But now, as I am on my take-nothing adventure, I am in the uncomfortable position of having to admit to another person, whoever I am asking water from, that I cannot take care of myself and I need their help. Take-nothing makes me vulnerable. Take-nothing is another way of saying need everything. Since I am not carrying anything, I have become dependent on other people's goodwill. As uncomfortable as this is, it is also a well-known spiritual discipline. Many monastic communities in many religions depend on the local people for food. In Thailand, for example, the place of my birth, the Buddhist monks can be seen walking the streets every day with their bowls, begging for food. and it is a well-known cultural practice to give them food. Giving food to a Buddhist monk, in fact, is one of the ways that Buddhist lay people can show their faithfulness and build up good karmic virtue. Could this be why Jesus asked his disciples to take nothing? It could be. Thought about in this way, take nothing is a certain kind of spiritual discipline. Was Jesus trying to get his disciples to create community by practicing a kind of spiritual humility? Could be. As I walk along thinking about this business of creating community, I realize something else. I think that Jesus did want us to create community when he sent his disciples out and told them to take nothing. But the whole time that I've been walking along, I was thinking about take nothing. I missed a crucial part of Jesus' instructions. He did not tell his disciples to go out and take nothing. He told his disciples to go out two by two and take nothing. So in effect, the disciples were not taking nothing, they were taking each other. Which is what Jesus was all about, right? We take each other. That's what we do when we're in community. We take care of each other. We take responsibility for each other. And when we take nothing except each other, we remove all the distractions that get in the way of developing a true friendship, a true partnership, like the one we're starting tomorrow. Finally, taking nothing except each other affirms a central truth about being human. And that truth is this: ultimately, we don't need much. We need water. We need compassion. And that we can give to each other. No need to take anything. Amen.